Welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Hey guys, welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast. Today's episode is, I have five main subjects, and I'm probably going to bounce around a little bit. First off, I wasn't going to talk about it fifth, but I think I'm going to jump right into it. The Broncos are out, and I saw one on the street. And I should have stopped. I was on the way to another friend's house to put a soft top on and help him out with his Jeep. And we'll get into that a little later. But I should have stopped and talked to the guy, because obviously he was doing what all of us do when we get a new vehicle. You go and show it off to all your friends. So you could tell that he was in the neighborhood, pulled into his buddy's place, and they were standing outside looking at the guy. The top down, the doors off on it. So he was doing his best Jeep impression, and I was driving by, and I was like, should have stopped and kind of got his name and talked to him. So if you got a new Bronco out there, or you have a buddy who has a Bronco, I'd love to talk to you about your impressions of it and what you think so far. Some of the big YouTube guys, well, people that I watch, I don't know how big they are in your world, but they have a Bronco and they are testing it out against the Wrangler and also the Discovery Land Rover. That's a TFL, guys. You can check that out and check out their deal. And obviously the Range Rover did not, or Land Rover, whatever it is, did not have off-road tires. And it was interesting, a nice cross-thread moment where they blew their tire and then the spare on the same rock within like 5 minutes of each other. Kind of funny, but that happened to them. And then they were pretty mad, upset, and had to leave the thing out there overnight while they went and got a different wheel and tire, or just tire, I guess. And interesting. So I definitely suggest you guys watch that just to see the frustration on her face, and it happens. But I think I was just thinking about today when I was driving, I'm like, why don't we just stay away from that one rock? You know, they explained why they blew their tire on this rock, and then the second guy took the second tire right at the same rock and did the same exact thing to the rig. So check that out. That's on TFL on the YouTube. But like I said, the Broncos are out. I haven't talked to my niece and her husband. They have one on order. Not sure when they're getting theirs. They had a couple times where they said their order was canceled. So they had to go back in and reorder it, basically. A lot of people are interested in it. So it's interesting to see how many people are excited about the Bronco. And the TFL guys actually had the 4xe out there kind of testing it too. So there's some good 4xe content on there. I've seen a couple of different 4xe's around here, and they look pretty cool. So I'd love to talk to somebody who has one of those guys too, just to kind of see what they think about it. The magic of podcasting. My kid just called me in the middle when I was recording and asked me what time the NBA draft is on. So he has to learn how to use the search engines. So I'm back. So yeah, that's the subject. On to number two, I guess, is a little update on the truck. This week the AC went out a second time, and ended up taking it back in. $1,100 to fix it, condenser. Can't remember if I talked about that, but on the last one, but that was not a fun little trip. And it gets worse. when things kind of start happening to your vehicles, they keep on happening. So my wife has her Grand Cherokee. And a few years ago, this was at the old house, she had a low tire, and I looked at it, and there's a couple screws in it. So this is when the vehicle had, probably only had 20,000 miles on it. So I took it in. They told me I had a screw or two in there. So I said, okay, can we just change that one tire? And they said, yeah, you could probably get away with that. These tires aren't that worn. I had pretty brand new tires on it yet. And so they just stuck a new brand new tire on that corner, which would be the driver rear. So she drives it for a few more thousand miles, wearing out all four tires, but the three are a little more worn out than the one. And here she goes, and she's got low tire again. It keeps popping up. So went back to the place where I had my truck worked on, and because she couldn't get in the dealership till like September 11th, way out there. So I said, well, go back to the place where I went. They'll get you in. And apparently they have nothing to do on Fridays because they're always wide open. So she goes in there, and they call me back, and this is as I'm ready to walk out the door to head up north and do some work. I just remembered I got a sixth topic. I was getting ready to go up north to my deer stands and put some wood down, so I'll talk about that too also. But so they're like, they called up, and this is where I was walking out the door and had my pillows in my hand, my water bottle ready to go, And they're like, yeah, it's gonna be about, she hands the phone to me. She goes, yeah, talk to him about the tires. They say I need four new tires. And I kind of figured if it needed one, it needed four. But I'm like, get on there and I'm like, hey, can't you patch it? He goes, well, it has three screws, like a couple nails and a screw or something like that. And I go, well, can't you patch it? And they're like, two's our limit. And I go, so that's just my luck that I'm always one over the limit when it comes down to something, just a bit over. So I asked, well, how much for new tires? And he either said 1500 or I heard 1500. Now, I paid 1350, I think, for five tires on my Jeep, because I went to a, obviously the bigger spare too. So I heard 1500. I think he said 1500. So I'm like, well, I said, so well, I was gonna try to check around. I was trying to get off the phone and said, let me talk to my wife a little bit. And she's just like, why are you doing this to me? Let's just do it. And I'm like, all right, just do it. So I hung up. I said, 1500 seems very steep for tires. I don't know. I wanted to shop around, but if you want to, she's going on a trip. She's actually out of town this weekend. Said, I know you want to get this done, so let's not shop around. And if you're going to drive 8 hours each direction where you're going, let's just have you get these tires done now and whatever. But it seemed like, $400 too much in my eyes. So, she ended up calling me after she got the tires and when she's on her way back home. And she goes, oh, it feels so nice. You feel like you're higher up, but the same size tire, maybe a quarter inch, half inch at the most. I don't difference. Anyhow, and it feels like a smooth ride. She goes, yeah. And then she goes, it ended up being 1,056 and not 1,500. So I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense for four tires. But we look at tires when they show, the tire deals, like it's going to cost, say, $200. But they don't tell you about the mounting and balancing and then the disposal of your old tire, which is usually like 15 bucks right there. So you always got to remember that those little add-on prices, but I wasn't thinking that would be that much more. I did not think 1500, but like I said, 1050 was the number, not 1500. So we were relieved on that one. We got four new tires on her Grand Cherokee, all ready to go there. So pretty excited about that because then you don't have to screw around and worry about tires for much longer. But three screws in the same corner seems a little weird. So hopefully, I picked up screws all over in the backyard one day. I don't know how they would get up front. Found another one actually yesterday. I was taking a dog out. So long story longer, you can pick up screws anywhere. But I just hope I'm not, have a proliferation of them in my yard. Don't like having screws. That's what I have my pickup too. Last fall, I went and got my. Well, it was 2 falls ago. I got my KO2s put on. And the reason I went in was like, I got a low tire here. I'm guessing I got a nail in it. Sure enough, there's a big. I looked before I drove over there. Sure enough, there's a nail. I'm like, time to get new tires. I was gonna get them in a couple weeks, but I guess I'm doing it right now. And that's when I got my KO2s. We ended up going. Tires for her vehicle were the ones that came on there. I think they're Goodyear Wranglers, to be honest with you. I was thinking about putting KO2s on that also, but I thought it looked pretty funky. I don't know. I think they're 29-inch tires. Looked pretty funky on that, so I decided not to, just do whatever she likes to have, and she doesn't want to go too crazy. So got that all figured out. So we hopefully cross fingers we don't have any more problems. We have two other vehicles, obviously the Wrangler and my son's car. Hopefully that one of those don't blow a head gasket or something. That would be no fun. Now that I say that, something's gonna happen. But end of the day, we're good for a bit. I think all the drama with the tabs and license plates and all that crap, I hope that's done. So hopefully we're good to go for a long time here. Long story, a little longer story, I'm gonna add to that AC going out. Years ago, we were driving. I had a Ford Explorer. We were driving out to North Dakota, and the AC started going out in that one on the way back. And then a couple days later, it blew when I was coming home from work. That was no fun. Like we could, when we were driving back, all of a sudden the AC was, wasn't blowing anything hot. So we stopped, we started again, it started working again. I was like, okay, it works. Let's just keep going. Then it blew, and then we sat out in the driveway. Wade and I did. I think I mentioned this story before. Took the old compressor off, put a new one on, had to get it recharged. But at the end of the day, we got that one done. Probably saved us 500 bucks by doing all that stuff ourselves. But yeah, that was the Explorer. And how I got rid of the Explorer, I had that thing for 8 or 9 years. One day it just started overheating and billowing smoke. It probably was just low on coolant, but I didn't want to find out because I had it for so long. And that's when I got my Yukon. That was, another car ago. But another, we have always had trouble with ACs, to be honest with you. Then our home AC went out when my wife was pregnant with our younger son. So this is in July or August, and he was born in September. And I basically talked to the guy. I said, "How much for the AC unit?" He said, $2,700. I said, "I can't do that. How about," I go, "How about you knock off 500?" He's like, "Okay." So I talked him down. Then fast forward a few years later, my wife had a RAV4. I was driving one day, got in a wreck, a fender bender with it. Somebody ran a stop sign, and they still blamed it on me. I stopped, but somebody blamed that on me, that they ran their stop sign. Really weird, but weird things happen apparently. Anyhow, since then, the AC really didn't work all that well. At one time, it just quit working altogether. Again, coming back from, or going to, North Dakota, Bismarck, and we had no AC, and it was 100 degrees out. That was not a fun trip. All half the way there and all the way back, no AC. So a lot of complaining there with the two kids and the dog and us. Not a good deal. So always had trouble like that. So hopefully we are done with all that crap. A couple things, other things I did that was this week that was fun. The last couple weeks, I guess. Got to go over and help out my buddy Wade with his monstrous van. He has lug bolts on his Mercedes van. And I guess it's a Ram, but he has all the Mercedes emblems on it. It's a pretty cool setup. But he called me up and goes, "Hey, can you bring over your breaker bar? Because I just broke mine on here." So not all breaker bars are created equal. So I was going to bring over my big Craftsman 3/4 inch breaker bar. And then he went to Harbor Freight to buy the socket that goes on there. And he goes, the socket alone was $40 for the size that he needed. So he bought a new breaker bar for a half inch drive, and in the socket he had, I think, already. And maybe picked up a new one, but then he goes, "This was together was $40. So it had a much stronger headpiece on there, the swivel point, and that did the trick. I mean, that was, it's amazing how little leverage, a little longer breaker bar can help you out, because there's no way. Like, even before I got there, I started trying to do it by hand. I'm like, "I can't. I'll break a wrench here. Whatever we got here, I'm going to break." So I waited till Wade got there for the longer breaker bar, and we got it off. We wrestled on that for better part of an hour and a half. He had to change his brakes. It ended up being on his. It was interesting because he took all apart. And he's like, "These pads aren't bad at all, but the sensor that says the pads are going bad, that sensor was broke." So he goes, "Well, since I'm in here, might as well just change them out. That way it's done." So helped him with that. Only hard part about that whole thing was getting those bolts loose. We got it all down, torqued it down using my fancy torque wrench again. I'm kind of glad I got that thing because it saves trips to the whatever store where you rent them. Saves all those trips, and then you know you got the right torque on there, because I think the one that he had on there was torqued about 500 pounds, it felt like. But we got it all set up, and he's got a new breaker bar. Cool things there. Got to go over and help my buddy with his soft top, one of my clients actually. I haven't seen him for more than a year in person. Now he does some stuff with me online through my fitness business, and stopped in, had a few beers I was on the way to his place. It was like a half a block away. Somebody had a Bronco sitting out. I'm kicking myself for not stopping and, give him my number, say, "Hey, let's talk about this someday." But got to my buddy's place in South Minneapolis, and I grab his door in the passenger door, because I'm looking at the hinges while we're doing the soft top. The soft top part was easy. That went on pretty much no problem. Just had to remind ourselves which direction these screws go in the back when you put the Mopar soft top on. And, screwed up the first two, and we put them back in the right way. No big deal. So that all went on pretty dang easily. Just kind of reteach ourselves how to put it together. He had it sitting outside, and he got caught in the rain. His wife had to shake him and say, "Hey, it's raining. I'll get the Jeep inside." So he had to do the old dance, pulling the one car out, put the Jeep in, because they just had the hard top off and run around, because it hasn't rained much at all here until very recently. We've been getting some rain, so it's been nice. But, we got the soft top on, no problem, but I was taking a look at his hinges. Now, that's been the debate online, is you just take the hinges off, spray them, powder coat them, or sandblast them, whatever you want to call it, and then powder coat them again and put them back on. Well, that takes a couple days, and if you want to use the Jeep. So I looked at his hinges, I'm like, I think you should just get the stainless steel. Like, I put on mine, happy with it, so I think he's going to go that route. But in the meantime, I grabbed the driver rear door, and it was hard to open. And you'll end up bending the door a little bit if it's rusty. I think Wade came over last winter and came to my garage, and we pulled his doors off, and we sanded down the pin. a little bit, and then put a little grease on it and put it back in there, and it worked out just fine. So I was worried about the, this is a JK we're working on, my buddy's JK, and I was worried about, like, why are we gonna get these hinge bolts out the bottom, like the little safety screw or whatever you want to call it, are we gonna get that out? So got the tools out that he had and got a little piece of rug, put it behind the door so I didn't scratch the door at all, and undid that one bolt, came out really easily, and then worked it back and forth. So if you've never took a door off of your Jeep, I highly suggest you do it, because then you can service the pins a little bit and kind of get them cleaned up. So you unhook the tether, that kind of the restraining strap, I guess you could say. You can Google how to do that, but basically there's a little access panel behind the front seat on the B pillar. Open it up, unhook it, and then that kind of gets the strap kind of where you can open the door almost 180 degrees. And you get to the point where it's really easy. So it's real hard when it's almost closed, this was, and you get to the point where it's like 180 degrees the other way, probably like 160 degrees away from that one point. And then you work it back and forth in that area, and that's what we did. We kind of worked it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then went way over to almost like 160 degrees from closed, and then we're able to kind of work it back and forth, like going in and out with the door, and then pulling up from the bottom at the same time. And after probably about 3 minutes of grunting, going back and forth, seeing the progress as we're going, it popped off. We all he had for lubricant, this was at his place, not my place, all he had for lubricant was the PB Blaster. So we actually got some sandpaper out, sanded it all down. Then I went with it looks like just a metal pole. It looked like a screwdriver, I guess you can use. I took some sandpaper, wrapped around that, and it went into the hole on the hinges that were left, or the bottom part of the hinge. Kind of worked that around a little bit, just cleaned it out a little bit. Sprayed some PB Blaster on there, slapped it back in, dropped in, no problem. And then he was like, oh my God, it's night and day difference. And his kid came out and tried it out. I was like, holy cow, look at that. It was one of those cool moments where the plan worked. Put everything back together. I said, order those parts so we can just change your hinges out. It's mainly the bottom part of the hinge. It's a 2015 or 17 JK. And the hinges are, the bottom part of the hinge is just rusted out. I think we could get away with just getting the bottoms, but if we do both, then it's just done. So he says he's probably gonna do that because he's keeping his Jeep. His son is graduating from college soon. I think his son is just gonna get it. And then he's looking at either a Bronco or a TJ, actually. So he's going back and forth between those two things. It's pretty funny. But so again, TJ, JK, JL, every now and again you gotta take those doors off and just put some lube on them, I think, is the easiest way to kind of keep them in good health. And if you've never taken it off, you gotta work them back and forth as you're pulling up and find that easy spot where it's working back and forth. It's the only way that works. We actually did the hardest one. I said, you can do the rest of them when you get back from your vacation, and we can pop them out or put the new hinges on. So kind of talked about that a little bit. I had a few beers until all his kids were like wanting to go to their friend's house, so they get my Jeep out of the way so he could take off. That was kind of end of our night, but I was there for a couple hours having some fun talking Jeeps, talking work. The next thing that I was going to touch base on was car spotting. This was fun. I actually posted about it on my Facebook page, and the other day it was kind of a rainy day, and I took the pickup. I didn't think it was going to rain, but I took my pickup to the gym with my son. I got a little training group with his buddies, and as we're driving, it starts to rain a little bit, and all I saw was just these Jeeps cut out of the woodwork that had the top down doors off, and it was like drizzling a little bit with some more rain to come. And all you just see so many Jeeps, they must have went to work then realized it's going to rain out and I don't have a top or anything, and they had to race home. So I saw five Jeeps in about 2 minutes that were racing home to get their tops on or the doors on, whatever. And then behind me I see this pickup. I thought it was a Raptor, and here it ended up being a TRX. So I saw a TRX in the wild. I thought for sure it was a Raptor until I heard it, and you can definitely tell the difference because Raptors are V6s versus the TRX V8s. And it was pretty cool. I told my son, I go, you don't see too many of those hanging around here. And then 1 minute later, we saw a McLaren 720S, I want to say. It's one of those nice supercars that you don't see too often. And like, I only see those things at car shows. They're usually never just out in the wild, especially when it's raining out. It's kind of one of those things like, Seems a little crazy to be out here. It was one of those rains that it hadn't rained in a while, so you know, every spot stoplight I had to put my truck in all-wheel drive just to drive it because it was so slippery. Couldn't use the gas pedal on two-wheel drive, it would just spin right through it. So that was a kind of fun car spotting. This is all within 5 minutes. I saw all this. I'm like, cool, I can see a bunch of Jeeps getting caught in the rain. TRX, McLaren, that's a good day. Usually on Fridays you'll see a lot of cool things out. People driving their Friday car, I call it, to work or around, and see a lot of Ferraris, and especially in my neighborhood, there's some twisties out here, so you can see some cool cars out, come out here and driving on twisty roads. So it's interesting to kind of see those vehicles out there. The other thing I did too this weekend, I got to take my son out. My younger son, who's gonna be 14 next month, he came with me because he was gonna be able to drive a little bit up at the farm. Drive my pickup, and I had it loaded down with, well, probably 500-600 pounds of wood. Went and stacked some wood, split some wood up at the campsite. Got to see my mom the night before, but the big thing for my son was he was able to drive the truck a little bit. So he got to drive the truck around the farm. So got a new generation of driver coming soon. He'll be going to driver's ed, I believe, next summer. And so we're excited about that. And so that way he can get his driver's license and drive himself to all these practices we're always running him around to. But that was kind of a fun weekend, just to go up there and see my mom. Nothing really at the campsite. We couldn't have a fire anyhow because it was dry, but it did rain 0.9 inch while we were there. But it was hot anyhow. It was 90 degrees in the morning, or 70, probably 75 to 80 in the morning. And it got up to the 90s. I'm glad I got the AC fixed in the pickup. So I was excited about that to be done. All the wood splitting went fine. Campsite looks great. Can't wait to go there in late September to do some work on the deer stands or to hang out. At MEA weekend, we're hunting up there, so pretty excited about that. So as far as off-roading, did do a whole bunch of off-roading. It was just more of, you know, getting backed up and doing the work out there, but the truck is more geared towards going up there, and obviously had it loaded down with woods than it would be the Jeep for that purpose. But I have had the Jeep up there doing a little bit of off-roading, but there's not much places to go because it's all just woods. But that was my weekend, just last week here. All things are going on, so I am on the lookout for a new Bronco owner who wants to take it off-road, and I'm on the lookout for a 4xe Jeep. If somebody out there has one and wants to talk, I'd love to kind of hear about what your Jeep has going on. But thanks for listening to Crossed Off-Road Podcast, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness, your one-stop shop for your fitness needs.